Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger coming your way, and glad to be able to share with you in another broadcast time this morning. As we gather together, we're going to continue on with the Christmas story, and you're joining me by the way of WION I 1430 AM or 92.7 FM or over in the lower Ada area, 100.3 FM at 8 o'clock, and I welcome each and every one of you. Others are joining me by the way of WGOM, 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock, and we now stream both of these broadcasts live by the way of the web, both Ionia and Greenville, and that's pretty special. Others are joining me by the way of internet radio at earsradio.com at 10 o'clock. I welcome you. Those that are joining me by the way of my website is PastorKenHarger.com. Then you'll see the messages from the Lighthouse. You bring your mouse up over that and Current Media will show up. And then you click on Current Media and it takes you right to the very top message, which is the message for this morning. I want to invite you to do something else with my website if you'd like to do it this year. It's been 10 years ago that I have the privilege of working with WION on the Christmas Eve program that they celebrated. They shared a Christmas Eve the Christmas Carol on Christmas Eve. I played the part of Scrooge, and I don't know how they talked me into that, but anyway, that was in 2010. That was done on Christmas Eve in 2010. I have a copy of it on my website, and when you go to my website, you just go to Christmas Gift from WION, and there you can listen to it. I listened to it this week, and that was kind of encouragement to me to think, man, 10 years ago, I was able to do that kind of thing, and that's pretty special, and it was wonderful the way it was all put together, and Jim, he explains that at the beginning of the program. So I give you an invitation throughout this week sometime. Just listen to that program, if you would, and that would be something very special. My website, again, is Pastor Ken Harger. Go to Christmas Gift from WION, okay? And also, I want to give thanks to those that have helped with the financial part of my broadcast this morning. I want to begin with Gloria Spencer this morning, in memory and honor of her husband, Spence. That's his nickname. I was home the other day, and a couple by the name of Ronald and Marvel Jones stopped by and gave me a check for the radio broadcast time, and that was very special of them. And Marvel is Gloria's sister, and that's something very special. And you know what, folks? They live in Jackson area, and that also made me feel very special. They made my day by not just only the contribution, but the thinking that people are so willing to help us out in whatever way we can to keep this program in the air. So I continue to thank Doug and Noreen Lane from the Sheridan area. I need to say I understand this week that Doug retired from his job he had. And so, Doug, I just wish you the best in your retirement age and for you too as well, Noreen, and God's blessing would be upon you. I'd like to thank Bell and Judy Hammond from the building area for their support. Shiloh Community Church, that's where I pastored for 50 years. I give you a special invitation to attend the services there. Weekend of worship begins Saturday evening at Shiloh at 6:30, Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, and then there's a contemporary service at 10:45. Over in the Greenville area, we got another campus. That's located at the old Calvary Baptist Church, the corner of Grove and LeRae Street, and that service is Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. Once again, I say thank you to K.N. Kingsinger for picking out my music. She's done a beautiful job for me all these years, and I sure have appreciated her support so much. As we get started this morning, I got a song I want us to listen to. And this song is just reminding us of the idea of glory to God. So I'll talk a little bit about it as the music starts playing. And we're looking forward this morning to God's message and what he has for each and every one of us. You know, we give glory to God for many reasons.
On a night so long ago, by the light of one bright star, two weary travelers far from Galilee took refuge in a stable where a little child was born to bring the gift of love to you and me. When the angels told the shepherds of his birth, there came a great rejoicing on the earth, and they sang, glory to God in the highest, dawning that first Christmas morn. Peace on earth and tidings of great joy, for unto you this night a child. Then that ancient star still guides us, and now again our Christmas voices ring. Blessed we are and safe at home, with loved ones here beside us, and in the still and silent night we sing. How the angels told the shepherds of his birth, and there came a great rejoicing on the earth, and they sang, glory to God in the highest, dawning that first Christmas morn, and peace on earth and tidings of great joy, for unto you this night a child.
This night is shining forth. Glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth. Goodwill toward men. What a special message this message of Christmas is. What a special message for each and every one of us. And as we gather together today, I want to remember once again, the listening audience, that God's special blessing would be upon you. I want to remember any unspoken requests that you might have. So when I come to my place in my prayer where I'm mentioning the unspoken request, if you would just focus on what that unspoken request is, we're going to ask the Lord to help you with that. That's meant a lot to me to be able to do that with you, and I trust it'll be a benefit to each and every one of us. This Christmas is going to be totally different. I'm so glad that they've got started to do some of the shots that they're given for this thing called COVID. But it's still pretty much in charge, folks, and we've got a long ways to go, yeah. And this Christmas season has been a little more difficult thinking about getting the family together and those kinds of things. We all got decisions we have to make about those kinds of things, and it makes it very difficult. So I just want to ask the Lord's blessing. Dear Father, once again we come to you. I want to pray for the listening audience. They're scattered all over, Father, many different areas. And we thank you for each one. Each one of them are going through this season of Christmas. We're telling this Christmas story. And the Christmas story never grows old. And the Christmas story is beautiful of how the birth of the Lord Jesus took place. And Father, we thank you for the things that we can learn from this story. But more than that, we thank you for the Lord Jesus, that little baby that was willing to be born a human being. And he came as out of the love of the God the Father. And he came into a pretty wicked world, which we're going to learn about today. And Father, there's a lot of things happening in our world that we're not really pleased with, This has been one of the most difficult times that I can remember in a long time when it comes to being Christmas. And dear Father, we just need your special blessing. I pray for the listening audience as they think about getting their families together, you'll give each one the wisdom they need to know what to do. We pray, our Father, that you'll be with this Christmas season, that it wouldn't enlarge this thing called COVID, that we would try our best to keep things the way it should be in order to not cause the spread of this disease any further. I'm thinking of the many hundreds and thousands of people who are going through a Christmas this year without their loved one because they've passed on during this time. And we ask your special blessing to be upon our listening audience, those that have lost a loved one. This year, now this Christmas is the first Christmas celebrated since their death. And I just pray that you would be with them and meet their every need according to your will. Now, Father, we got to talk about the wise men and the men that you use to bring the message into the heart in a different way. We love the shepherd story. I do, Father. But the wise men teach us some things we need to learn as well. So as you look into that, I just pray your special blessing to be upon our study together. But before we go, Father, from this time of prayer, I want to remember anybody that has an unspoken request. Anyone in the listening audience has got something they're dealing with and they need some help from you, Father. So they're going to focus on an unspoken request right now. And dear Father, I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord Jesus and asking that you be pleased to bless and give whatever is needed for that unspoken request. I pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. And God bless each one of you. The story of the wise men. The thing I like about this Christmas is the gift of worship to Jesus. And it took a gift of surrendering these men that traveled so far following that star. They surrendered all they was doing going through and all that they had to go through in order to find this one Jesus. But they teach us some lessons that I think are good for us to know. I loved it when we talked about the baby Jesus and Jesus' message coming to the common people, the shepherds. But this week I want us to learn some different way how the heavens declared the message of to the wise men. You know, the Bible tells us the heavens declare the glory of God. And these wise men were studying stars. And there was a star that they seen coming, and it led them all the way from where they were in the east to Bethlehem, and where they was able to bow down and worship the young child Jesus. First, we need to think about the word anticipation. The word anticipation has to do with the culture of today's anticipation. Thinking has to do with, we kind of reduce it to mainly feelings of expectation. But these men had more than feelings of expectations that he traveled day after day after day, following that star, not knowing where they were going. However, the original meaning of the word anticipation, when it was written in the Bible times, is to foresee and act in advance of the anticipation. I'm reminded of a story that Jesus told later on in his life. A story of 10 virgins that were supposed to be waiting for the bridegroom to come. And then they light their candles as they went into the reception room. And the Bible tells us 5 of them were wise and 5 of them were foolish. You know what? 5 of them that were wise, the only difference between the wise and the foolish was. The wise came and they had their lamps full of oil. But the wise came and they had extra oil to put into their lamps, just in case the bridegroom would be late. But the 5 foolish virgins, they just bought the oil they had in their lamps, and no extra lamps, no extra oil. And of course, the result was the bridegroom was late, and they were off buying oil when the bridegroom came. So they missed that beautiful event. You know what I learned from that, what I can see from the wise men as they seek in this star and following the Lord Jesus so much. they had to have that determination, that anticipation that says it takes action. It takes many days. They traveled a long time from the time they'd seen the star. And as they traveled, there would be days, I'm sure, that they would think, man, is this worth it? Should we continue on this journey? God is reminding us through these stargazers, so to speak, of the East, that in the meantime, this baby Jesus had been born in a stable in Bethlehem. After his birth there in Bethlehem, evidently, the parents moved over into a small house. And this is where the wise men would come to worship this baby Jesus, or this young child Jesus, and would give him gifts. Before I leave this idea, in the Bible times, anticipation had to do with action. Action and preparation. You see, the five wise virgins had preparation as well as action. They had the oil and the lamp, but then they had preparation. And that was the idea, that they was going to be able to stay if it took longer than it would. I love that God has done to been a source of blessing to Mary and Joseph, and teaching us about how well God prepared what he told the priests who lived in the city of Jerusalem. You know, after Jesus was born, 8 days later, they're supposed to take the baby Jesus to the temple. He'd be circumcised, and then he would also, the parents would make an offering. And there was a man that was a really old man. He was a priest in the temple at Jerusalem. And it tells us in the book of Luke chapter 2, behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. He's waiting for the coming of the Messiah. The Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he seen the Lord's Christ. And God fulfilled that promise. And I love this promise for Christmas, is that God will always fulfill his promise. We'll talk about that in just a few more minutes, but we need to consider that these wise men are traveling day after day, week after week, month after month, traveling all that distance to see this baby Jesus, or this one that is born the King of the Jews, as they call him. You know, in the book of Galatians, God tells us about anticipation, about this long-term thing. You know, oftentimes you and I, we have our timing for things to be done. And sometimes that timing gets interrupted. And sometimes we have a hard time when our timing gets interrupted. But I love it in the book of Galatians. We've talked about this before, but I want to just mention it again. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son. His son was going to be born of a woman. She's going to be born under the laws of the Old Testament. And she was going to be, this baby Jesus was going to redeem those who were under the law so that they might receive adoptions of sons. The Christmas story tells us that's exactly what happened. Listen to the rest of the story. 8 days after his birth, the child was circumcised and they named him Jesus. This was the name the angel had given to him before his mother became pregnant. After the days required by Moses' law, teaching to make a mother clean, had passed, Joseph and Mary went to the temple in Jerusalem. They took Jesus to present him to the Lord. Did exactly what was written in the Lord's teachings in the book of Old Testament. Every firstborn is to be set apart as holy to the Lord. So they offered a sacrifice as required by the Lord's teaching, a pair of mourning doves or two young pigeons. Then as it were, that is where they met Simeon, this priest, who was promised that he wouldn't die until he's seen the Lord's Christ. And this priest has a message that he wants to share with Mary and Joseph. That I believe God knew that Mary and Joseph needed to hear this message. I shared that with the shepherds, that the Mary and Joseph needed to hear, unto us is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this is the sign that it will be unto you. You will find a babe wrapped in a swaddling cloth and laying in a manger. Can you imagine what that meant to Mary, who was in such a poor circumstance to be able to give birth to that baby and have to lay him in a manger? Now here, 8 days later, they come into the temple. And listen to what the temple says. But listen to what the priest of the temple said. My eyes have seen salvation, God, which you have prepared for all people to see. I love that. This message that was given to the shepherds was, it's for all people. This message that's coming from the priest Simeon is saying, it's for all people. This message is one that's been delivered for all the people to be able to hear. And then he goes on to say this. He is a light that will reveal salvation to nations and bring glory to your people, Israel. Jesus' father and mother were amazed at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, this child, this baby, is the reason many people in Israel will be condemned, the ones that don't accept him, and many others will be saved. You know, the religious leaders rejected Jesus, but the publicans and the harlots and the sinners, all of them had received Jesus. He will be a sign that will expose the thoughts of those who have rejected him. And Mary, you need to know, he's going to pierce your heart. I got to tell you, that's pretty heavy. Mary, this baby that you've given birth to is going to pierce your heart. I'll come to that in just a minute. But I like the idea. I love the orchestration work that God had done. He sent the shepherds to encourage Mary and Joseph concerning the baby Jesus. 8 days later, he just knew, folks, that Mary and Joseph would do what they're supposed to do. They would take that baby to the temple. And he's ahead of them. He's already told the priests in the temple that you're not going to die until you see the salvation that I have provided, to Christ who will come. And that priest, when the baby Jesus is brought, he knows that's who it is. And then he shares some words of comfort and encouragement to Mary and Joseph. And they are amazed. This man doesn't know our baby. God just gave them a hug, folks. I got to tell you, we need some hugs from God. I got to tell you, I've been in some discouragement because of all the things that's going on in our society today. And every now and then I sense I get a hug from God. And may this message give you a hug from God to say, you know what? God knows what's going on in your life. Just like he had prepared and knew what was going on in Mary and Joseph's life. And God was there to give him that hug and to remind him of who this one Jesus is. But then when he said, Mary, this baby boy is going to pierce your soul. You know when I think that happened? Of all the things that happened when the Lord Jesus was being crucified, one of the things that my wife and I have given up two children through death, and the death of a child for a parent is so very difficult. It's something I've told people, you never get over, you just get through. But you know what? When Jesus was there dying on the cross, Mary was there at the cross. Mary Magdalene was there. There was three Marys at the cross. And Jesus even told the disciple John to take this woman and be her caregiver. Jesus said he wanted him to do that right from the cross. That's one of the statements that Jesus had made. But can you imagine? Mary gave birth to the baby Jesus. and laid him in a manger because there was no room for him in the inn. She had heard the merry message of the shepherds, "Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, and goodwill toward man." She had heard the message from Simeon, "This one is for the rise and fall of many in this world of his day and in the world to come of future ages." And there Mary stood at the foot of the cross and watched her son die upon that cross. My heart goes out to Mary. Got a song we want to listen to, and this song is simply called Simeon. And Simeon is just the idea of the message that God had given to him. And I want us to listen to this song, and then when we come back, we'll finish the rest of the time that we have talking about the shepherd, about the wise men. You know, God's been so good to show us his love and his care. God's been so good to show us that he really loves us, and he loves us very deeply.
Singing, the shepherds came to see. The star is brightly shining, it has everyone amazed. Well, it's shining down. Can you believe the story? Could this be deliverance for our souls? Has El Shaddai come down to dwell among us, to keep his promise in your days of old? Do you believe he is the one? You know, I heard they named him Jesus. I recall that special promise that you would never die until you saw the true Messiah and beheld him with your eyes. Brother, you've been faithful in the service of the Lord. You know, Simeon, it could be the fulfillment of God's word. Simeon, can you believe the story? Be deliverance for our soul. Has El Shaddai come down to dwell among us, to keep his promise in your days of old? Do you believe he is the one? You know, I heard they named him Jesus, Simeon. Oh, I believe he's the one. You know, I heard they named him Jesus, Simeon. Simeon, 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 can you believe this story? Simeon, 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 Simeon.
Simeon. You know what I think as we come to this end of this song? I think we need to ask ourselves, can you believe the story? It's like God would be saying to me, Kenneth, can you believe this story? Whatever your name is, can you believe this story? Simeon, can you believe this? What a beautiful story he's came. He's come to give us a message from heaven. His name shall be called Jesus. Can you believe the story? His name shall be called Jesus. Can you believe that he came that we might have the forgiveness of sin? Simeon, do you believe the story? I believe Simeon believed the story. And I thank God that I have believed the story and believe it. This is my 62nd year as a pastor to deliver the message of Christmas. And you know, the more I do it, the more I appreciate how beautiful this story is. It's orchestrated by the God of the universe that loved us so much that he was willing to give us his one and only son. And this one, Jesus, loves us so much, he is willing to give his life that we might have life and eternal. I love it that the wise men were in another part of the world. And somehow, by the way of the stars, they realized that Jesus was born, the King of the Jews. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who was born the King of the Jews? We have seen his star when it rose, and have come to worship him. These wise men had traveled all the way from the east, and they're traveling all the way with a question, Where is the King of the Jews? They believe in that something has wonderfully happened. They had been studying the stars, and the stars had told them that something had taken place. I have loved the idea, was a part of my early learning as a Christian. God meets us where we are in life and takes us forward to where he wants us to be. These wise men were people that studied the stars, and God used the star to bring them forward to the city of Jerusalem. This was a time when they were decided they were going to check out the star. And they started following the star, not even knowing how far and how long it was going to take them. They started on this journey one step at a time. And they went on and on, step after step, day after day, week after week, month after month. You know, when I was looking about this, I was thinking, you know, that's the way God works in our lives. He works in our lives through steps. I was thinking back of my childhood. You know, we never went to church when I was growing up as a kid. We didn't even have a Bible in our house. When I was in junior high, we were studying something from the Bible, and I said, What's that? They said, You can get one in the library. So I went and got a Bible out of the library. I remember when I was going to Weatherwax School. That's on 66 up near the Sydney Corners where you turn to go to the college. Just a little bit north of there, the old schoolhouse still stands. And, you know, I attended that school, and there was a rural Bible missionary by the name of Charles Hart. And he came around and told us kids at school, he told us Bible stories every day. And once a month, he'd come to the school and tell us a Bible story. Sometime later, my mom left me home one time. There was a big family of us, nine. And, you know, they had a screen door spring on it, but it wasn't always get closed, and sometimes the spring would get broken and so on. And this particular time, a lot of flies had come into the house. And my mom said, We're going to leave you home. And she gave me this little pump sprayer. She said, You go start upstairs and spray all the bedrooms. Spray the stairway. Come down and spray the rest of the house. End up in the kitchen. And then go outdoors and just sit outdoors and we'll be home in just a little while. You know, I started spraying the flies. I started upstairs. time I got downstairs, you know, on those floors downstairs, we had linoleum. That's what they used to call it. I can't hardly pronounce it, but linoleum. You older ones will know what I'm talking about. All of a sudden, I noticed flies. They were laying on their back, and they were spinning around in a circle. And because I'd been spraying it all upstairs, and I sprayed the rest of it, by the time I got to the kitchen, which was the last room I was supposed to do, all of a sudden I seen so many flies spinning around in a circle that all of a sudden I didn't feel good. And now as older, I probably had inhaled a little bit of that spray, you know, doing it in kid fashion. And all of a sudden I felt sick. And all of a sudden I thought, when mom comes home, they're going to find me dead. I would be spinning around like those flies are spinning around. I crawled out on my hands and knees, laid down on the ground, looked up at the sky. I remember it like it was yesterday. I said, God, I don't even know if there is a God or not. But God, I'm so sorry for anything that I've ever done that's been displeasing to you. Would you forgive me of my sin? And you know what, folks? That was my first step in coming to know who God was in my life. From that step, it led to a step starting to go to church and hearing the message that the baby Jesus was born. He was born that I might believe in him. That when I believe in him and confess my sin, he would forgive me. And then it's just been step like that, step by step, all the way through my years ever since I've been 17 and I'm 85. And God has been good in that whole journey all the way. And I want to remind you, that's what I can learn from the wise men. Step by step, the second step was all of a sudden when they got to Jerusalem area. And remember, that's where the message was given from Simeon to Mary and Joseph. And Mary and Joseph are now living in Bethlehem. When they got to the place where in Jerusalem where the temple was, in Matthew 2 it tells us, when King Herod and all Jerusalem heard about this, they said, where is he that is born King of the Jews? When King Herod heard this, he became disturbed. He called together all the chief priests and the scribes and tried to find out from them where the Messiah was supposed to be born. They told him in Bethlehem of Judea. Because in the Old Testament, the prophet wrote about Bethlehem of the land of Judea. You are by no means least among the leaders of Judea. A leader will come from you. He will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod secretly called the wise men and found out from them exactly what time they saw the star. It appeared to them. And he sent them to Bethlehem and he said this to them. Go and search carefully for this child. When you have found him, report back to me that I may go and worship him also. I must remind you, it was a strange time when Jesus was born into this world. I did a little studying on King Herod's life. It's only through history. It's not in the Bible. He was a strange mixture of a person. He was very clever, efficient ruler. He was a cruel tyrant. On the other hand, he was very jealous and brutal and ruthless, cursing any potential opposition. The Jews never accepted him as their legitimate king, and this frustrated him. He constantly feared there was going to be conspiracy to take the throne away from him. Now listen to these thoughts. He executed his own wife when he suspected that she was plotting to take the kingdom from him. Three of his sons and another wife and his mother-in-law met the same idea that he killed all of them when they were suspected of to take the kingdom away from him. But in his defense, Herod was not all bad. He presented himself as a protector for Judaism. He sought to gain the favor of the Jews. He encouraged development of the synagogue community. And at times calamity, he remembered them for all the things that they was going through. He was a great builder and took up the role of making the temple of God, a very special place in Jerusalem. They said when he got finished, it was even better than it was when Solomon built it in days of old. I share this with you because the world that Jesus came into was not a beautiful place. It was a place of hatred, a place of anger. The things that we see going on in our world today, we realize a lot of that is the kind of thing we're facing with in Christmas this year. Things that we never had been used to. Then here it tells us that he had asked them exactly what time, remember that? And then he sent them to Bethlehem to find where the baby Jesus was, or where the child Jesus was. And you know, when the wise men came away from the temple with their direction from the second step, go to Bethlehem. The star that had led them to Bethlehem, to Jerusalem, all of a sudden was right there, and they were overwhelmed when they saw the star. And you know what the star did for them? The star led them like a GPS right to the very house that Jesus was in. Can you imagine the marvel that they had when they're standing outside of that house? I got a little feeling come into this for me. They've been traveling all these times. It's close to 2 years. They've been traveling. Anticipation to worship this one that's born the King of the Jews. And all of a sudden they're standing outside of the house. And I believe that's when that star is shining on top of the house. It says they were filled with wonder and joy. I believe God was just getting them prepared to go in and meet Mother Mary and the child Jesus. So they went in. And when they met Mother Mary and the child Jesus, these grown men bowed down and worshiped a teeny little child, less than 2 years old. There they are, bowing down and worshiping him. You need to realize the heart of Herod was, he was going to kill the baby Jesus. I can say that because it's told that later on. But what a beautiful thing that these people, these wise men, had traveled so far. And when the star was gone, they found the scripture that said he's born in Bethlehem. And then when they came out and headed to Bethlehem, the star led them to the very house that the child was in. And just as natural as could be, they bowed down and they worshiped Jesus. I love that. There's something about Jesus that deserves that kind of worship. What a beautiful ending to a long journey. As you see these grown men on their knees worshiping this little child. But I believe God is trying to tell us that the message of Christmas, that we might worship not the season, the Christmas time, not the season of Christmas, but we might, as the shepherds were told, worship the one that has come. His name is Jesus. He's been born unto you. And all of a sudden the angel says, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, and goodwill toward man. God was telling us, this one deserves worship. And these men who know nothing about the message of the angel, and these men that have traveled so far from a distant land, when they came into where Jesus was, they automatically bowed down and worshiped him. I believe that's wonderful. I believe that's a message that God wants us to think about today. We are to worship him. We are to think of who he is and what he's came to do. Remember I told you when they entered the house, they saw Mary and Joseph. And they bowed down and worshiped him. But I want you to think of something else about this Christmas story. You know, last week I was talking about the idea of learning the principle of gift exchange, something you receive the blessing from your life. You in return turn around and let somebody else receive a blessing in their life from what your blessing you received. Now, I have a cabin up at Kalkaska area, and I've let a lot of people use my cabin up there. Never charge anything for the use of my cabin. You know why I don't do that? Why I don't charge anything? I don't need to. It's paid for. It's sitting there. And Bev and I decided a long time ago, if somebody needs a place to go, spend some vacation in the winter or the summer, we'll just let them use our cabin. I have a book that lays on the table, and everybody that's ever used it, they write something in the book about how they enjoyed their time at the cabin. And sometimes when Bevy and I go up to the cabin by ourselves, we just like to sit down and read the stories in that book about how we took a gift that we believe God gave to us and turned around and let others use it, and it becomes such a blessing to them. Now think with me for a few moments. These wise men have traveled day after day after day, and they're carrying their trunks. They got gifts they want to bring. When they came into that house, they saw the child, and then they gave to him gifts. The gifts are listed this way. They were expensive gifts. They said the gifts was, first of all, was gold. That would represent the role of Jesus' life as him as king. There was a divine role of his life. It was given by the gift of frankincense that was used in worship of God. His manhood role was given to him by the gift of myrrh. That's for the suffering of a human life. And all those things Jesus became, he was the king of the Jews, but more than that, he's king of kings, and he's lord of lords. He is to be worshipped because he is divinity. He was God in the flesh, Emmanuel, which means God is with us. And then he gave his life upon that cross that we might have the forgiveness of sin. But remember King Herod? He said to the wise men, when you find him, come back and tell me. I want to go and worship him too. But he was lying when he said that. God came to the wise men in a dream and told them, go home a different way. Don't go back to Herod. Don't let him know where baby Jesus is. At the same time, an angel came to Joseph and said, Joseph, we need to take the baby Jesus because King Herod is going to come to kill babies. And you know what? He told him to go flee to Egypt. I got to remind you, folks, of God's constant care and gift. I believe those expensive gifts that was given to baby Jesus from the wise men were gifts to help support Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus when they were in Egypt. They leave for Egypt, and God says, I'll tell you when King Herod is dead, and then you can come back. So the angels did what, the shepherds, the wise men, I'll get them right here. The wise men did what they're supposed to do. They went home another way. Joseph got his family together, and they left the area, and they went to Egypt. King Herod, he heard that the wise men went home a different way, and that made him angry. Remember, he had asked them exactly when the star arose, and they told him. What King Herod did, folks, it's recorded in the Old Testament too. What he did was he killed every single baby, male baby, two and under. The Bible said there was such weeping on that second Christmas, so to speak, such weeping because of all the death that had taken place. Why does that happen? Somebody says, where's God? It's not where's God. It's letting us know how broken our world is. Our world is broken, and men that choose to sin, they choose to sin even beyond more than we can think or imagine. What kind of an individual would kill every male baby 2 years in hunger just to make sure he could get rid of the one that he thought was going to be king of the Jews. May God help us. I want to close with this song. This song says, this story means so much to me because I found the story to be true in my heart. I found the story to be true in my life. And because that is, this story is telling me that one day this one Jesus is going to come again. And I believe that with all my heart, just as surely as he came in the first time a baby born in a manger, one of these days he's coming back, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. God bless you. Merry Christmas to you. And have a blessed holiday.
There's a story so old, but each time it is told, it grows sweeter, more precious to me. It's the story of a lamb who has made me what I am. And let me tell you just how this came to be. Let me tell you how a king was born in Bethlehem. Then I'll tell you how he came to die in Jerusalem. But the greatest part to me, it's my song.
Sing of a manger and a babe.